The White Network presents Saturday Afternoon with Carolyn. Your host, Carolyn Yeager.
Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to my Saturday show. Today is January 26, 2013. I'm Carolyn Yeager, and my guest today is Mike Delaney of ProThink.org, which is his main site. Mike is a real trooper. He's in his chilly RV right now, so he won't be bothered, or we won't be bothered, by his four children who are in the warm house. So hi, Mike, and welcome.
Good afternoon, Carolyn. Thanks for having me on today.
Well, I'm just very pleased that you could come on because you are now a hero, which has, if you weren't already, but you're even more of a hero because you've done this fantastic job of pulling out Gordon Duff and showing what kind of a fraudulent idiot he is, and now it's being passed around quite a bit more than it was before. I will bring up later that, you know, I've been going after Gordon Duff since 2010, and it's a little slow going, as you found out with this one person, PragmaticWitness.com, that some people have been saying, you know, was a fan of Gordon Duff, and now she says that now she sees him for what he is, and so on. So we're going to go into all of this, and there's a lot to go into. So I know we've got quite a few listeners already, and we'll have more. There's certainly interest in this. So why don't you start out by telling us? I was asking you before, just before we went on, how you got into this cause and approximately when and so on. And why don't you tell the listeners about yourself, but just whatever you want to reveal.
Right. Well, I'll tell the listeners what I've told you and what I tell people on my team speaking in public, because I don't hide anything about me. But, you know, I guess you could say maybe a decade ago, I was pretty much what you'd consider a communist and a Wigger. That's just, quite frankly, just how I grew up. I grew up in the inner city of Milwaukee where, yeah, I was one of the few white people. It was just kind of what my environment conformed me to. I always had in the back of my head the natural instinct, that we all have, but you ignore that after enough getting beat up over the head with television and the school system and everything, you know, like most white kids that are unfortunately in that environment. Well, I'd say about 2005, I, you know, came across, like a lot of us, Alex Jones through the 9/11 scene, and outgrew that and got into the anti-Zionist scene early 07. Pretty much was downright Jew-wise by, I'd say, 2008, and started doing some pretty good stuff that at that point. I would say I became racially aware about 09 through a series of events of people I associated with, kind of inspiring that awareness. And since then, it's just kind of been home free at that point. Since I've been, I would say during Alex Jones days, I met my beautiful wife. And as of right now, we have four children. The oldest just turned 5 last month. They've all been home birthed. None of them had their schmeckles chopped off by any disgusting little rabbis. And none of them are vaccinated. And for the most part, they're completely organically healthy, fed and so on and so forth. So
did you get that knowledge from your wife, that health knowledge? I understand she's a kind of a nurse.
Right, she's an RN. She basically, we were learning together. I mean, I already knew a lot of the political stuff, you know, the Federal Reserve and 9/11 being an inside job and all that. Mm-hmm. All that silly patriotard stuff I already knew when I met her, and I, you know, told her, I said, this is what I'm in. I'm passionate about this. You know, more or less just the truth of what's going on in the world was what I'm passionate about at that time. But, no, she picked up on a lot of that, alternative health stuff right along with me as I was picking up the political, and other historical aspects of things at that point. So we luckily, like I said, I mean, I got to give credit to Alex Jones. You know, if it wouldn't have been for me knowing what at least he said back then, I, you know, who knows if I'd have done circumcisions and vaccines and home births like I did. So, I mean, I at least can sway credit
that way. Does he talk about that?
Oh, definitely. Like, yeah. He hammers the vaccine issues and the homeschooling and stuff. So, yeah, there are some aspects that, and it was funny because when I had I had that nasty phone call that everybody's heard, the ProThink versus Alex Jones phone call in April 08. At that evening, he called me on my Skype phone, and I talked to the guy for an hour and a half, and he threw that in my face. He says, well, you didn't vaccinate your kids, did you? I said, yeah, no. He says, well, you could thank me because I know it was me that you know, made you aware of that. And I said, well, okay, I'll give you credit on that, Alex, but you're still a lying Jew lover. But, yeah, that's where I've been at, and I plan on shooting for 10 kids. I live in Upper Michigan where homeschool and vaccine laws are very lax. Beautiful country up here. I know a lot of people like to push for the Harold Covington Northwest migration stuff, but I tried that in 09. I moved out to Idaho and just outside of Boise. I traveled around a lot out there, looked at job market properties and all that, and it was just too expensive. There's a lot of your California liberals and a lot of your Mexicans are being shipped up there, whereas up here in Upper Michigan, you got about the same climate you do in a lot of parts of northern Idaho and Montana and such here, but land is dirt cheap. It's still astronomically predominantly white. The laws in Michigan are great. There's a lot of good people in Michigan, lower and upper parts, and the natural resources are awesome. So this is just where I landed, and I've been loving it ever since. So
you're happy. Yeah, well, great. That sounds great because I think – exactly right. This idea of the Northwest is maybe a little bit overdone, and there are a lot of good places in the Midwest and in the area south, kind of mid-south, Tennessee, North Carolina, I don't know, Kentucky, I don't know what all that.
Yeah, the Ozarks were like my second option. That was going to be if some reason the Upper Michigan didn't work out, Ozarks were going to be an area that I was looking into. It seems like a decent area in the middle of the country. Not a lot of natural disasters, not a lot of, quote unquote, diversity you have to worry about being in the woods down there. But yeah, it just didn't work out like that.
Yeah. Well, but, you know, there are places where we can start, you know, people can join together and, keep it white. But, It's a big battle that we're in. I think you wouldn't underestimate the huge battle that we're in and the forces arrayed against white solidarity and having white homelands and so on. So this what interests me so much is the infiltrators or just the people. They're not necessarily infiltrators, but the people who are halfway. And I then question whether they are, who they're working for, you know, what side they're really on. I'm very suspicious, more and more so than much more than I used to be when I was new in this and just thought everybody was great. You know, I'm just took things pretty much the way they appeared. So we'll get into that, but let me just say that, let's talk first about your websites and so on, because this is what, Gordon Duff was going after. And if people aren't clear yet about this issue, well, I don't know how much introduction I should do on it, but I'll just say, just in case, that on January 22nd on Veterans Today, which is not a good website and is not a truth website, people should be aware of that, Gordon Duff posted a very short article claiming that I think it was titled "Rat-Faced Jews is a run by the Abe Foxman" or something like that. And right. Anyway, he claimed that that there were dozens of Nazi websites that were funded by Abe Foxman's Anti-Defamation League and managed by ADL workers and volunteers. And then he specifically mentioned ratfacedjews.com and thejewishproblem.com. Which he didn't mention your name, and he said that, you know, blah, blah. He didn't say too much. And I was aware of thejewishproblem.com. I thought it was a good site. I had never heard of the rat-faced Jews, so I went and looked at that. And then I don't know where I found out that, quickly I found out that these were yours, and I don't know where I got all that, but very quickly I found that out. So, this has started, I don't know how much people who are not into some of these websites like yours and mine and others, are aware of this really at this point, but, quite a lot of people are becoming aware of it. And, this has started something that I think is going to be very beneficial, to us in the long run. And we have to thank Gordon for this. So at this point, then tell us about your websites and all, because it's a little bit, I'm going to go to your ProThink right now and look at, you know, you've got where you say all the ones that you have tell us what they are and why you have several and which ones are actually sponsored by you or on your server and which ones are actually run by you. Whoops. What happened, Mike?
Oh, can you hear me now?
Oh, yeah.
Sorry, my elbow bumped the microphone jack out of the thing here. well, first I want to touch on the Gordon Duff issue just slightly.
Sure.
You know, as far as Gordon Duff goes, you know, you were hitting my radar quite a bit a while ago, hammering him for being what he is. I honestly can't say I paid a lot of attention to it because it's like anything else. To me, it was drama, but, you know, I pretty much took your word that he was what he is and is a pile of, you know what. Well, you know, obviously now at this point I've had my own experience with Gordon Duff, but the RatFaceJews.com website was kind of a website, obviously the name is very hardcore, and when I paid for that domain and I even set up a separate hosting account for that specific website, I set it up more as the ProThink sites and network sites. They're pretty hardcore already, but I was going to leave that its own website and not really associate it with the ProThink sites because, you know, there are some people out there that are newer that are trying to come on the scene. They're going to see that and they might be a little critical of a name like that, where I think it's absolutely hilarious because that's what these people are. They're rat-faced Jews. But the thing was is I set that site up and I obviously put anonymous thing on like I do on all my websites because quite a while back one of our hosts decided to dump my home address all over the internet with the ADL kicking me out of there. But yeah, that's what's funny, ironic here. ADL kicks me off of GoDaddy and 101 and hunts us down and writes articles about how I blame Jews for 9/11, but I somehow work or am owned by them. It's just kind of an oxymoron that Gordon Duff comes up with his delusional medicated head of his and his quarter Jew bloodline, I guess. But yeah, this whole thing with Gordon Duff went down. I would like to make a public thank you to him, too, as well, because, I mean, you couldn't have asked for a better – we actually were tossing around the idea, did this guy really want to help us get this stuff up? Because, I mean, it was such an idiotic thing that he did to put that the ADL owns that. And what did almost all the comments on his own article and his own site say? You mean to tell me Mike Delaney, the guy that runs ProThink and has Missing Links movie out there, is ADL? Like, it was just such an asinine thing to even consider.
Well, you know, he's really asinine. Just let me just have an opportunity to throw this in. Because when I would criticize him, and I was in an email exchange at one point that they put me in, and he probably didn't like that. But he gets really nasty in email exchanges, I can tell you. Really nasty. But he would say about me, well, he said on radio programs, too, my name was brought up, well, Carolyn Yeager is a Israeli agent. She's an agent for Israel, or she's a Zionist agent and things like that. And I thought it was so funny because nobody would believe that, you know, who knows me at all. Nobody would believe that. And so, well, I don't think they would. And so it's just a ridiculous thing to say. So.
Well, you just got to get down. I mean, some of these people out here, the viewers, supporters, the people watching on the sidelines here, got to look at this simple, simple quote, and it's the fruits of their labors. Jews are not going to be as adamant as you or I are, about exposing this type of information. If they're going to get in and infiltrate networks and, you know, do some damage from inside, they're going to do it by throwing around disinfo and not really doing hard work to expose their network, so to speak. So this asinine idea that they would, that I would be part of ADL and that I would go as far as to make missing links to expose Jews behind 9/11 and do all this activism I've done and have all these websites and this network of sites up to somehow be an ADL plant. I mean, where's the motivation? Where's the damage being
done? Yeah, well, really. Right. It's obvious.
But, getting off and away from the Duff and the ADL and all that crap. And like I said, I'd like to thank him because he did way more positive things for us than he could possibly imagine. The thousands of sites, hits that came to the site, crashed the Ratface Juice server down like 3 times yesterday, the day before. Yeah, it was great. I was just like, oh, this is awesome. Free traffic, you know? So.
Yeah.
But, the other websites, I guess I go back to about 2007, when I started realizing that people that were in the so-called anti-Zionist movement, and I don't want to give clowns that live out in France any kind of recognition or clowns that run things called free press any kind of recognition, but there are these people out here that I felt weren't telling the whole truth or were being apologists for so-called the myth of the good Jews. And, I could see clearly that aside from a small handfuls, which I could count on my left toes, where this idea that, it's not all Jews and these qualifiers and this like submissive type attitude just wasn't my style. So I came out with the website prothink.org at the time in October 07, actually. And after that, I started putting together Missing Links. That got released in August of 2008, which is on 911missinglinks.com. And then I started prothink.tv. I ended up buying the domains to JewishQuestion.com, TheHoloHoax.com, KosherTax.net, and I had all these sites up and running at some point in time, but it just got too much to be on my plate. So I started dropping those, and then I started picking up guys out there that I knew were phenomenal, that were writing really good stuff and good with propaganda and good with getting a message out. Take, for instance, ZionCryingFactory.com and JewishProblem.com. And shortly, some more people I'll be picking up on the ProThink Network. And basically what I did is I went to these guys. I said, look, I'll take care of all the server stuff. I even do it. The reason I don't do a lot of content on ProThink.org is because I do a huge amount of marketing behind the scenes. That's why when I offered there's two other people that a lot of others know out here that are talking about these issues and are fairly well-known and are climbing the charts. But you know, if you look at their rankings and the traffic they should be getting or not, it's because – you know, I offered to bring them on to the ProThink Network, get them to their own domain, the websites, to make sure they're protected from ADL attacks, because that's pretty much I spent a lot of my time too. And, but yeah, you look at, like I did this video called Dissecting the Website Stats, Who Are the Top Haters Out There, mm-hmm. you know, and I showed that surprisingly, like the ProThink and the Jewish Problem Design Crime Factory site were dominating out there as far as this realm of information goes. And ironically, a Jew is the one leading the anti-Jew movement, but that we got into the why that is, and as far as a mentality wise issue there. But
well, is Zion Crime Factory, did Zion Crime Factory already have a site and already be doing some work before?
Well, he was
came along with him.
Yes, he did. And I've known the guy for years. I at least known him through, you know, being in chat rooms in my forum. I had a forum a while back, and he's always had a really good head on his shoulder. And same with the person that runs Jewish Problem. I've known that individual for I'd say a good 4 or 5 years now too. And they
that's not you doing that on Jewish
no,
Problem.
No, these are just sites that I own.
Okay, I got
I host and
okay,
I let
you
them
you actually you
rank.
Own the site.
Right.
They don't own their own site, but they run their own site.
Right. They're able to stay behind the scenes and anonymous, and I'm the face of the sites, but I don't even log into their site. I got to go ask. I mean, obviously, I could go through the server and get their password out and get in there if I needed to for emergency, but I don't log into their websites or nothing. They have unfettered, capability of what they want to do, and that's part of the deal. You know, here, I'll get you the website, get you the content, and that's how it goes. They now right as we speak right now, and I just got a message while we've been on air here. The Zion Crime Factory database was we moved from another hosting account to another temporary hosting within the last 2 days here, and then since then I've dropped on getting a full blown server, so that will be migrating to this week as well. But which we've got a huge amount of stuff going on with the Protein Network. We're going through a lot of growing pains, and it's going to be massive now. But the idea here is that
But Zion Crime Factory, is it offline right now?
Because it is offline, but yeah, okay. I just got word that it should be back online either now or very shortly. So for those, because I have ZCF's website pointed to ProThink.org, so at least people wouldn't be going to a blank page. They see the message I had up there. But we had a problem with this database being so large. It just got so much content on there, which is awesome, that we weren't able to transfer from the one host to another. And luckily, the gentleman that owns CockroachAlley.com was the one that was doing the transfers for that over. And just like I said, I just got word from him that that ZCF should be up and running, or will be today for sure. And then, like I said, just give everybody a heads up, all the sites at some point this week will be down for temporarily until we get move it over to fully dedicated servers, which not only they'll be fast, but they'll be stable. And we'll be finally launching the site that I've been teasing about for years, a YouTube-like video site where the users can come sign up for their own account, upload videos just like YouTube, and it'll be the videos that are always banned off of YouTube. So we tried to do that with ProThink TV, and it looked like it. Like that kind of site on the front end, but there was nothing similar to ProThink on the back end, meaning you couldn't just sign up for an account and upload a video. You had to go through a lot of troubles, you know, uploading it to an FTP and putting in your own HTML code and all that crap. And I knew for a lot of people that just wasn't going to work. But that's what's going on with the websites right now.
I have a question from someone who has sent it in before the show. I want to ask you right now, but I want to also say that I really admire you for all your know-how and all the time that you must spend, you know, and what it takes to do all this kind of internet communication and run all these sites and do, you know, I mean, where I'm really weak. So, it's great. We need people with these kind of talents and, probably don't have enough of them. But, now the question is, so that we don't, we're going to move right past this, is this a good listener wants to know, is Rat-Faced Jew's name helping credibility? Now, I realize this is just a minor site of yours, and actually I read that it was just a place where you wanted to kind of put things, save things or something. But he says it might even provoke thoughts like Duff had or Duff expressed, you know, that people would say, well, this can't be real. Or it might turn people off, too. I think that's just too nasty. What do you say to that?
Well, I don't think anybody out here has the answer to being able to reach out to a wide audience. Everybody has a very specific type of audience they target. Like, take, for instance, Zion Crime Factory early on had a big swastika on the top of his website, and he got a lot of criticism for having a swastika because, the newer people that came around would go, hey, I'm not comfortable with it. I haven't learned it yet. So to them, that symbol would, you know, hatred. Oh, oy vey, that's not going to work for me. Well, you know, and I tell him, like I told everybody else that were criticizing him or people that said, that's awesome, keep it up there. You have to look at the type of people you want to focus towards. And the reason I don't necessarily put a swastika up, and I for a little bit last week, I put a picture of Hitler on the site because it was awesome. It said, the answer to 1984 is 1933. And Alex Jones is always going 1776. Well, I like that picture, but normally I don't put up so-called World War II, Hitler, NSDAP type of symbology on my site because my purpose is to and I've said this millions of times to lots of people out there, is to go to, say, the Alex Jones type camps out there of new people that are learning that have broken the ice from being utterly sheepishly stupid to believe like CNN and Fox and all this stuff, but don't get what's really behind it, that it's not just the globalist and the New World Order elite. So when you have something like Rat-Faced Jews is going to be for the crowd out there. They already are very well comfortable with, first of all, calling out the Jew as they are. And not only that, but are going to find, you know, like the term on there, the subtitle of the site is Punching Jews and Their Schmeckle Every Chance We Get.
Yeah.
You know, it's more or less a comical thing. It's like Rat-Faced Jews punching them in their, I mean, this isn't the type of site, which is why I didn't really blast it all over the front of prothing.org. I'm linking to it, but it's not the kind of site that I'm trying to reach new people with. And it's still, just the way it sits, it's pulling in, before even the Gordon Duff stuff, it was pulling in anywhere from 200 to 500 people a day were going there. And the way it's set up, it's set up so you see the original article, but you click the subject title and it goes to the original author's site. So it brings everybody else that's linked on there traffic. And it's a good centralized site and a backup site at that. So if one of the other sites go down, there still is a backup after that article. And that, so take for instance, you have Jewish Problem. Jewish Problem is awesome on really hardcore extremist type propaganda that gets people riled up and gets them in that warrior spirit. But if a new guy coming out of the Alex Jones camp goes there and sees that, they might be scared to death. They don't know, oh, what are you talking about? You know, but, and that's, you know, so you have to consider, is it hurting our movement? Well,
he dropped off. Did he hit his, whatever plug-in again? Is he going to come back? That sounds a little different this time. It almost sounds like a Skype problem. Let's see. Is he still here? He's still... Let me go back to my routing. They're routing him. I don't know. Living there in the northern Michigan might be kind of a problem. Mike, I don't know if you can hear me. It shows that you're being routed. Skype is still trying to work on this, so we just have to wait. Okay. You know, while I'm waiting, you know, I've got a lot of things here that I can talk about. So while we're waiting to get him back, and he's pretty sharp, so I'm sure he'll find the way to do it. Even if he hangs up and calls in again, I will be looking for that, so that I can, get it, answer him. He is gone. So I'm gonna look for another call here, I shouldn't leave. I can't leave this page while I'm waiting for his call. But this person also asked, said it's so difficult. This questioner, it's so difficult to navigate around the internet with all these sites and so on. And let me go back that just for a minute. And he says, how can a person do that? Okay, here's his call, which I'm taking. Hold on, folks. This should do it.
Sorry about that. My Wi-Fi on my laptop just dropped off, and I even ran in the house to see if it was the router. The router is plugged in. I don't know what happened there.
Okay. Well, I didn't know, but here we are. That's all you have to do if something like this happens, but you just have to make sure. What some people don't do is they don't hang up, and they start calling again. And then it's all, all hell can break loose around here.
Right,
so
right.
You have to hang up that call, and then it's fine. Okay. So where were we?
I guess to finish answering the question, I'm going to put it like this. Like somebody in the chat room said, the answer to your question is yes. These Jews have to be dehumanized. So that's kind of a strategy.
The rat-faced Jew, yeah. Okay,
right,
I was asking, this person also wanted to know, he might as well put it in here right now, that he says, how can an average person possibly navigate in the information jungle at all? One needs a compass. Sometimes there are people who you just have a that just feel right and true. I agree with that. And you do have to go by your feelings a lot. But if your feeling radar is not working too well, then it's not going to work too well either. But he says he thinks people can get cheated this way. Well, he's just saying that it's that people can get hooked on one outlet. I think that's very true, like Alex Jones, and stay there forever. People get hooked on RBN and stay there and never listen to anything else. People get hooked on different things, and they're comfortable there, and they never move. That's very true. Same thing with veterans today.
Right, right. And this is why I'm always advocating, especially people around our circles and in our network here. You know, all the sites, the guys we all associate with each other, we, you know, reach across the board with, you know, viewers and supporters and stuff. And the biggest thing I push is you have to, A, call into these shows. Call into the Alex Jones Show. Drop the website so you get people out of those camps. Call into RBN shows. There's a guy that calls himself Frank in North Carolina. He does – this guy must just sit in his house and do this all day long, and he does an excellent job. And that's one of the things I think we're short on. We're not short on content. We're not short on videos. We're not short on radio shows. We're not short on great websites. We are short on activists to actually hit the streets, but the biggest thing we are short on are people marketing. I want to give thanks out there to whoever it is that puts out and has listened to me in the past and puts out links on Craigslist and other forums. I see surprisingly a lot of bodybuilding and MMA forums linked to my website. Even model shipbuilding, car sites, you know, forums, anywhere. We need people to market. We have the sites. We have this, you know, growing empire of information out there, but it doesn't do any good if we can't disseminate it to enough people. And that might actually take people printing out flyers and DVDs. I put together a DVD. You can download the ISO for free. I show you how to burn it to a disc. It's super easy. Go buy yourself 100-pack of DVDs. And start passing them out anonymously so you don't have to worry about your name being attached. I know a lot of people are afraid of that. So, but there is a lot of options out here, and marketing is what we need. That's why I spend so much of my time doing is marketing, because, you know, like I said, that's the numbers are showing it. You know, we get the numbers that we get, you know, we're reaching anywhere from 5,000 to 10,000 people on the ProThink network between across the board of sites, and ZCF and Jewish Problem are the top ranking guys on those. So, that's what's crucial. That's definitely what's crucial here.
Okay, I think that's I agree, and I think people should do more of exactly what you said, linking on all kinds of places. It doesn't have to be, you know, somebody that's, you know, in agreement with us. In fact, it's better if it's, you know, other types of sites. And I sometimes get a lot of traffic from somebody from a link somewhere, or from a comment about it, or from copying my, you know, a particular program or something, or a particular article. But what some of these sites do is their whole site is just about copy and paste. It's just about picking things up from all over the place and putting it on their site. And while they don't really have very deep knowledge or anything, but they're kind of given credit for it because they've got all this good material on their website, but it's somebody else did it, you know. It's somebody else's material.
I don't have too much problem with that kind of thing. Now, granted, you're not going to win the award at the end of the day for being the top white nationalist, most heroic warrior out there for just reposting stuff, but they're at least doing more than 90% of our other aware people are doing. And quite frankly, I've made it so, as far as I'm concerned, anything I provide information or I create that I've created, like missing links, I've made it completely open that it is an open source thing. Take it, steal it, sell it. I've even authorized people to sell it. Not authorized, I just told them, yeah, go ahead and sell it. I don't care, you know. Keep the money for it. But as long as that information is getting out there, maybe I have too much faith that, you know, we'll get enough donations to pay for the bill at the end of the month, but that's just, I'm in it not for my name, not for the money, not for the recognition. I'm in it so these rat-faced Jews can go down, so their ship can sink. That's all I care about. My children, I look at them every day, and I neglect them to be on these websites to get them. You know, I could be spending a lot more time with them. And I'm a stay-at-home dad, and I don't. I sit on this internet, and sometimes I get very pessimistic about things. And I'm looking around, and I'm trying to get people to actually do marketing or do stuff. And I say, man, we have the tools. We have the DVDs. We have the websites. We have the radio shows. We have everything. We just need you to be the footwork. Get it out there, you know. So, yeah, as far as people having a website and just regurgitating and plagiarizing, so to speak, I don't too much come down on that, you know, because I'd – If that's the case, and they're getting the information out, and you know, they want to feel better about themselves taking credit for it, you know, whatever, you know.
Well, you know, but they get linked to a lot, and then they're like the top site or something, and they're not really doing that much. Now, here's the thing I wanted to say was that this new site, Total Fascism, and here again, you know, I don't know anything about it. They've said some nice things about me, but I don't know. I think they used to have a swastika. Now they have some other symbol on there. I don't know them, and I don't know, you know, of course they appear to be good and so on, but they had listed some people, some sites that they recommended, and they had John Friend's, they had John Friend's blog right up there, and it said that they nominated, if there was, in the new, fascist government or something, they nominated, John Friend to be some kind of leader in it. I forget what it was, because I can't find that particular article right now. And he's just brand new, and they're building him up like, and I have questions about him, because he has a lot of strange associations that are probably left over from before he finally wised up, which was just very recently. And he puts out wrong information when, because he doesn't know, you know, and because he posts all this stuff, people think he's an expert on it, like say on Hitler and National Socialism, and he is far from it. And even though once in a while he'll say, well, I'm kind of new in this, but still he goes on, and he makes a lot of mistakes. So this, I think, is not good. Okay.
Well, the only thing I have beef with John Friend is he's a no-planer. That aside, I think the reason people recognize him the way they do or to blow him up the way they are is because, A, he's done something, in my opinion, in my perspective here, that is phenomenal and has looked as good leadership quality. And he's been out in the streets. You know, some of the videos, I don't know if you've seen, where he stood up in front of an Occupy Wall Street thing with a megaphone and he had to sign it, said Israel did 9/11, and these little commie Jews are trying to hit him with a stick. To me, that says you're golden, that you're getting out there and you're doing it out of the streets. And B, the guy's got his heart in the right place. He's starting to get a lot more disciplined and confident with the right information. Aside from the no plane thing, obviously, but and he's going the right direction. And I've talked to the guy in video chat with him several times. He definitely seems he's going to be a I foresee him being a pretty powerful piece out there if he keeps going. He's adamant. He's maybe a little too overly diplomatic with people.
He's makes a friend with everybody. That's part of the strategy.
Right, and that might work. For some people, it's not my strategy, but it might work for some people, I guess. I don't know.
Well,
but getting back to the Total Fascism website, this is a guy who has been around for a long time. Has come, you know, another guy come out of that Patriotard movement. I wouldn't necessarily focus. Maybe he wasn't just on the Alex Jones stuff, but been around for years. He's another phenomenal guy on the scene. That's doing
now,
excellent
there's two
articles.
Guys there. There's Andre. He seems to be the main guy. And then there's somebody called Bjorg.
I think it's just Andre now.
Okay. All right. So Bjorg dropped off, huh? All right. Well, that's a big job for him.
Right. He's I love
he's
the
a good writer. He's a very good writer. Yeah.
Right, right. And he's addressing specific issues that I see needed to be done out there. And a lot of that is focusing efforts towards the anti-Zionist movement, which really, truly, a lot of the anti-Zionist movement are anti-white. You know, they'll tell you up and down that the Jewish problem that they see are white Ashkenazi Jews. White is an oxymoron to call them that, but they'll say Ashkenazi Jews are nothing but just Europeans wearing yarmulkes, and so therefore it's the white people problem that the Jewish problem is, and that's not at all genetically accurate. So that I like that he's writing articles focusing towards that needs to be done. And a lot of his other articles are really just people putting people in the right mindset where they need to be and have things figured out in a more definitive fashion.
All right. And, you know, he's got me listed here on his Brothers in Arms, but he's got other things there that, well, he did have. I think he's changed it. I can't be sure because I don't, but I thought he had Charlie Giuliani on there. But other people have Charlie Giuliani, including John Friend, and quite a lot of people are think he's a great guy. And in fact, this actually was Total Fascism that did an article, which I don't have right now in front of me.
The new dawn of internet fascism.
Yeah, that's the one. Right, and you've got it on ProThink. In fact, I can go to ProThink and see it.
That's a disagreement.
And he's talking about Giuliani, and I also am not. I'm not a fan of Truth Militia, so go ahead and give your.
I'm completely in the same boat with you, Carolyn, with Giuliani, and I personally have never had a beef one-to-one with him, but I've always been pretty good at character assessment, and there's something about him that's really snaky that I don't like. And I'm usually not a jerk, and I will come out and say that about somebody unless I have a little more evidence than I do. But there's something about Giuliani I just don't like. I never really trusted the guy.
Well, no, and you know, people who don't see that, there's something wrong there. So this is why I get so many questions in my mind, because Giuliani, they talk now right here, they're talking about how smart he is and all. Baloney, you know, this guy is stupid. And it was just less than 2 years ago, he was still a Christian Zionist Bible student. You know, in this, he studied at this Bible college. And you don't learn anything in Bible colleges except Bible. Right. And I'm not putting down the Bible, but I mean, you know, the take he had on it was pretty, basic. And he was satisfied with that. The guy's in his 40s. He was satisfied with that one now, until a few years ago. And then he finally started to wake up, but even now he's been anti-Hitler and anti-National Socialist for a long time. And he's finally pulling back from that because, he wants to get, you know, friendly with other people, and it's probably not good for his ratings and so on. But yet all these people listen to him, and I don't understand it, because I think it's just they like the kind of dirt, you know, he uses a lot of four-letter words, and he talks real tough, and
right.
He carries on about stuff, but he's, you know, and John Friend has had him on a couple of times, and they've been friends, and this is where all these kinds of things bother me.
Yeah, I absolutely agree with you. He's not pushing the information that he believes to be true. He's pushing the information which he sees where it's swaying to. And it's certainly swaying to people like us out here that are speaking on the racial issue and the pro-Hitler issues and such. So he sees that that's the truth. That's all it is. It's not even that you're racially aware, you hate Jews or nothing. But people are seeing the truth, and they're seeing it to a very, very deep level nowadays. And so Giuliani is going to just cater to where that audience is starting to levitate to. And they're certainly, I don't know. I know there was a little bit of drama or something wrong with who they were promoting. I don't try to pay a lot of attention to it. To that stuff. But, I've had a pretty good experience with those guys, and I think, they are newer to the scene. They're new as far as knowing the information, even at that. But I think they're definitely going to powerhouse into a good position where they have their heads screwed on straight for the most part. They're going to focus to the right direction.
I listened to one of their programs. It was several weeks ago, mm-hmm. and it may not have been their best one, but the two guys who run that, this Keith and somebody. And I didn't think they had their head screwed on right, and I didn't like a lot of what they said. And I didn't like any of what they said, because the way they say it, and they don't seem like they know what they're talking about, but they complain about the U.S. government. That's about what they do. They complain and complain and complain about, a lot of these people do that, about the government, the obvious things that we all know, and that's about all they can do. So I would just ask people who like the Andre at Total Fascism, who seems to be pretty intelligent and have much more knowledge and a clearer idea, to be more careful about who he's recommending. And you kind of recommend him too, but you're doing it based on what you think they can do.
Yeah, but, like I said, I think they're going to have a few growing pains here, but I think they're aiming towards the right direction. And they had me on their show a few months back, and it was Keith and I'm such a jerk when it comes to remembering people's names. It was
that guy from
whatever. But those two guys,
the guy
the
who's
network.
A friend with Mark Glenn and Mike Piper, that Keith.
I don't know if he is or not, if that's if they're friends with Mark Glenn and Mike Piper.
Well, he also writes for our American Free Press, sort of.
Does he? Huh. Okay. But
I can't think of his last name.
Either way, it's I like what they got. I like what they have going, and where they're kind of shooting for. And I do see a lot of patriotard aspects so to speak, that come from them. But at the same time, I think they'll outgrow that, you know, they'll grow into something more definitive. And for that matter, they're probably reaching a lot of newcomers with that kind of mentality as well. So it might, even though, you know, like I said, we already know better. Why are they talking about the government stuff? Well, what we think is
well, they're anti a lot of things that we believe in. You know, they're anti that.
As far as?
Well, they hate Nazis. They keep talking about Nazis as if they're people running around in costumes. And, they know better than that. They don't want to see that, you know. And it's just a waste. It's just pointless, you know. It's the same old stuff. And when people are talking like that, I get real suspicious of them. And I just plain don't like.
Well, that's understandable if they're doing that, and hopefully they'll become more educated about that. Because, I mean, quite frankly, I was in that same position. You just take my site maybe 4 years ago. It's still in the archives. I got a bunch of Hitler was a Jew stuff. I'm sure you love that, right? in my archives,
Get rid of that.
it's good because it shows that, you know, I've grown and I've accepted the information and notes. You know, somebody presents me some information, like the no plane theory is a perfect example. I didn't just throw this out as being an asinine thing. I researched the heck out of it. People, oh, you ever see September Clues? Yes, I've watched it 3 times. I've looked at all the work Kill Town and Dr. Judy Woods, and I've looked at Jim Fetzer's work, and I've looked at Nico Hoff and Paula Gloria. I know all these people. I've met half of them. I know half of them personally, and I've seen all their websites, all their videos, all their evidence, and it's bull crap. That's what it is. You know, it's not something I just looked at, but, oh, that's just crazy. I looked at it with an eye that said, okay, let me look at it skeptically, and, you know, nothing there was selling me. And so, but as far as, like, the Hitler stuff, now here's an interesting story. Back when Ron Paul first announced he was running for president in early 2007 for the 2008 elections, as you know, Jim Condit's been riding the Ron Paul wave each election. You know, he's been real active in that Ron Paul scene. Well, I happened to meet at the time in Iowa at a Ron Paul event, Jim Condit Jr. And at the time, I was sort of a fan of his. You know, he talked about he talked about Jewish Zionists and so forth. But he also had his Final Solution Adolf Hitler DVD. You know, not a lot of people know this except for those who've been paying attention over the years. But when I met him, I told him, I said, well, you know, I know how to do DVD remastering and video editing to a certain degree. Excuse me. I'm kind of got a little bit of shivers going here, but,
I need a blanket.
Right. It's a little space heater. Just not doing it in this 5-degree weather, but yeah, he said, hey, could you remaster my Hitler DVD? And I said, sure, you know. And so I spent about a few weeks remastering, and I sent it to him. I didn't charge him or nothing like that. I said, you know, here you go. And so I find it ironic now because I'm one of his – I haven't really paid attention to him over the last couple of years. But for a while there, I was a huge critic of him lying about this stuff because I was suckered into that whole thing. I mean, I was presenting that Hitler DVD like it was the golden information age or something. You know, it's like, here, check it out, man. Condit's got it figured out. Hitler isn't the answer. They were funded by the Jews and blah, blah, blah. And so, you know, a lot of people fall for that trap, and I was one of them. And, you know, I'm not afraid to admit it. But at the same time, if you don't grow out of that and you keep pushing it, or you have an arrogant attitude that that's the right information – and a lot of people have that. They get to a degree where they just have this arrogance to them that they can't learn anymore.
Well, that's Jim Condit, but he's trying to make money off of that video of his, which is quite old already, but he's still pushing it, you know. And I also was really put out at John Friend for giving him 2 hours, of which Condit got about 3/4 of that time, and actually went on after that, to put out his spiel. And John was not very strong against it, just saying, well, you know, I disagree with that. I mean, it was an example of allowing Condit to talk about that stuff again.
Yeah, and John Friend, really, I mean, the guy's doing a good job and all in a lot of aspects, but I don't really believe he has the background yet to go against somebody. I mean, Jim Condit's a professional liar.
Well, he doesn't, because when Condit would do that, he wouldn't be able to counter it. So I'm just saying, if people can't do it, well, maybe they don't recognize, you know, how limited they are. But if they don't have the know-how to stand up to somebody like Condit say they shouldn't be going on with them. You know, it's just ridiculous.
But yeah, anyway, so reinforce them.
Yeah, you're reinforcing it, and that's what he did. He reinforced him. And I'm not saying he meant to do that, but that's, you know, just shows that young people and new people should not be seen as the, you know, the end all be all of what's going on. So then this pragmaticwitness.com, in the little bit of time, I'm going to just say a little bit about her. She says she's a 54-year-old woman, and I'm sure she's trying to do good. But now she says she's learned something and she's never going to trust Jews again. But I think, again, here we need to watch, not just see what she says, but watch and see what she does, because it's probably going to be a big change for her, because I looked at her stuff and she's got a lot of, she's friendly with a lot of Jews, and she's been
she's
a
soft.
Real fan. Yeah, she's soft. She's been a real fan of Veterans Today. So, but she has this disclaimer on her site right up at the top on the sidebar. It says, this blog is neither homophobic or xenophobic. I believe in honesty, fairness, and equality. It's in all caps. You know, but we do miss these things. It's true, because we're not looking at that part. And I detest criminality. So she's making out that it's criminals who are the bad people. And if you're not a criminal, no matter what you are, regardless of race or religion, you know, you're okay with her. But how does she know who's, you know, but then she does say that, most criminals are from minorities, immigrants, and Jewish ethnic groups. But, you know, I mean, these people are, you know, you just have to watch them. And like the writer in the letter writer, the comment writer said, it's impossible to keep all this stuff straight and follow it all.
Well, yeah, so, it's like this clown out there in France, which Daryl Bradford Smith, he's had this disclaimer at the top of his website. I disavow with fascists, racists, homophobes, blah, 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 blah. You know, this clown put that up there. It used to say my name. It used to say I disavow with Mike Delaney, who's a fascist, a racist. And all. He finally took my name down because he realized, oh, he's giving me traffic that way. But he, yeah, he's one of these clowns too, you know, and it's, if you don't have enough courage to be definitive about what the truth is, even if it affects you negatively, then, you know, move aside, you know, you get pushed aside. But the ratings show it. The ratings show people want the truth. That's why they don't go to those two sites
But there's a lot of people going to sites where they don't get all the truth, and they don't know what the truth is. Oh, it is. I agree with that writer that it's a jungle out there, and you have to know a lot to know how to maneuver in it. And you know, I've learned a lot over. I realize we all have to learn. You know, we don't start out knowing everything, but maybe we need to just get down on those who are dissembling or not able to give out the right information and tell them so. And most people will not do that. And when I do it, of course, I'm such a horrible person, and then people don't like me. But you know, we should all monitor what's going on better than we do. That would be my comment.
Well, that would be part of that marketing aspect I was talking mm-hmm. about, where we call in the other networks, because I'm not afraid to bring somebody over to my site and have them call me out on something on there. If you see something wrong, let's talk about it. You know, I got a TeamSpeak server. You're invited in 24/7. You know, if you see, oh, Mike, that's racist, or Mike, that's this or this and that, or Mike, oh, you love Jews or whatever, they are more than welcome to come bring it to my face. Now, the rest of these clowns out there, like we were just talking about, they're not gonna discuss that. They're just gonna run from it, like, you know, like natural leftists do. They run from reasonable, logical conversation on things. So that's part of that marketing aspect that I was bringing up earlier, that we need to be in their faces, call into their shows, bring this to them. So because nobody goes backwards in the truth. I know some people ignore it and go off in their, to go take an artificial blue pill and go back to not paying attention to this stuff, but they still know what's true is true. And that's what we have here, is we have people, this, I wouldn't call it a movement, because that's kind of a ridiculous thing to call this, but the people, there's a lot more people that are becoming aware to the information that you provide, that I provide every day, and they're not going to go back to, say, listening to Alex Jones or Daryl Bradford Smith or these, what I'd like to say, get a benefit of the doubt, call them stepping stones to just not be complete jerk today.
Well, you know, I don't have a blog where I'm every day posting something, you know, that's currently going on. And I can't keep up with that and try to write serious things and do all these programs at the same time. Well, I do that more on my program than anywhere else and in writing now because I can't write it all. So I can understand why people want to go to these kind of sites to see what's the latest, you know, find out and so on. So I don't mean to be attacking them altogether. They serve a purpose. I do want to say on your site, ProThink, you've got on your sidebar, you've got this list of, you know, links and recommended sites, and you've got a stage 2 and a stage 3. And I was going to ask you, you know, just exactly how you saw that, because I found it a little bit confusing, and maybe you just haven't had time to, you know, work on it and update it. I know I don't even know where my links are on CarolynJaeger.net anymore. And I know that they're not very updated at all. So, but I don't think there's anything there I would dislike. But, I noticed you got Age of Treason in stage 2, anti-Zionist Jew-wise. And maybe when you put it there, you thought that, but that's Tanstoffel's, blog. And, you know, he began his blog in September 2005. He's been going for a long time.
Right.
And always keeping it up. But he wasn't anti-Jew when he started it. And he learned along the way. And now he's totally race conscious and Jew conscious. So, you know, I just wonder. Then you've got American Third Position in race and Jew-wise. And I don't think they quite belong there because I know quite some of the principles don't go along with that very well. So I was just, you know, pointing that out. Maybe you need to check that out.
Well, up until yesterday, I was just restructuring all my links because up until yesterday, I was linking to idiots like InfoWars, Jeff Rentz, and What Really Happened Today under Stage 1. And there was a reason I was doing that, and I was explaining.
Okay. Go ahead.
Well, I was explaining that to somebody yesterday, and they kind of talked me out of doing that. And I said, "All right, I'll bow down to your criticism, because I'm not always going to be like I'm Mr. Right at Know It All."
Yeah, but
The idea was is I was going to reach out. Thank you.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. This is Saturday Afternoon with Carolyn Yeager. I'm Carolyn, and my guest is Michael Delaney, who is the owner of ProThink and runs a whole slew of websites and is working on, amalgamating a lot of this and making, even adding more and having a big internet, even a bigger internet presence. And he has currently been targeted by Gordon Duff about some of his websites being run by the ADL and managed even and by their volunteers and so on. And we talked about this in the first hour, and now in the second hour, I would like us, Mike, to go into more about Gordon Duff and some of the people who he hangs out with and that are friends with him and what this says about them. And there's a lot to say here, and I have to tell the listeners that this is the call-in hour, so you can call in at 830-443-4911. When you do, you have to, you know, kind of be patient for your call to be answered, but I can only take one caller at a time. Or you can send an email to carolyn@carolynyeager.com and let me check my email again and see if there's any questions.
What's that number again, Carolyn?
Okay, it's 830. I should repeat it anyway. 1-1-830-443-4911.
Okay.
Okay. Now, before people do call, let me try to get something in here. And that is, I don't quite know where to start. You know, right now, Veterans Today has an article written by Gordon Duff about Sandy Hook, and they've had quite a few, and you know, nothing particularly strong about them. But this one is about, it's not really about Sandy Hook. It's about gun control, and it's just so revealing about who he is. And I recommend people to go and read that. It's called Enemies Scamming America on Gun Confiscation. It was posted on the 24th, and I want to go over that with you. But before we do, maybe I better get this part in, and that is I sent you this link. I'm talking because this fits in with what I was saying before, my complaints about people in the pro-white people and who they associate with. And we were talking about rents and, also this site, Fascism, Total Fascism, has several articles about Duff and about, rents. But they don't mention David Duke, and I can understand everybody stays away from that. But David, is on the Rents Network now with his radio program. And, you know, I don't listen to it because there's too much promotion of David's materials and books and stuff and too much advertising and too much messing around and not enough real good information. So, and I don't have time to listen to much. So, this came to my attention by somebody. Oh, I know. It was your site, Jewish,
problem.com.
I saw something and I went there and they have a very good blog. Oh, but it was back then around that time. This was on December 17th, 2013. 2012, sorry. And David had Gordon Duff on. I'll try to be brief here. David had Gordon Duff on as his guest. And, you know, he was real friendly with him, very praising him a lot. And he even said, he said, Gordon Duff, a man I very much admire and respect.
Yeah.
I know you. And Gordon said, as with Carolyn, David, I have a lot of Jewish. And then David said, I love this guy and so on.
God, I already had my vomit bag filled up once. I can't go through it again, please.
Well, you know, now why did David Duke go on Rents? I think because there would be more money for him. He might get some part in the advertising that's done there. I don't know. Or it's good advertising. The numbers, you know, he wants those donations. And, of course you can say, well, you're going to get a big listenership and gets the message out there. And, you know, like you pointed out to people that wouldn't otherwise get it. Okay. I went along with that. But then to bring on Gordon Duff, again, is it to get Gordon Duff's followers and to maybe get something from them too? How far are you going to go with this?
You know what? I tell you what, Carolyn, I didn't hear that interview until this whole Gordon Duff thing went down with the Rare Face Jews website.
Right.
And I didn't hear what you had to say about it. To be quite honest, I didn't hear any of that. All I had was I listened to that show. And like I said, it really did have a vomit bag. The way that not only David Duke gave up the most minuscule puppy dog fight to the outright anti-white, multicultural, communist bullcrap that this hideous rat-faced Jew is spewing in front of Duke, who's been around for, 30, 40 years? He's got a great book out that everybody praises about, and he's bowing down to one of the most vile, disgusting dog craps on the scene, and he's gonna tell him at the end of the show, "I love you. I want to tickle your feet. Will you marry me?"
Well, now
what the heck?
He said, "I love this guy."
Well, now come on. I mean, he might as well got up
in
the gay marriage with the guy. This is ridiculous.
But he also said in after he said goodbye to Duff. He's a great, he's a great friend or something. I don't know.
Yeah, go to his website.
We are 95% in agreement. He's trying to point out that he has some differences. He did bring up the differences to Duff, but how could you be 95% in agreement with somebody like Gordon Duff? How can you be? You can't.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. This guy is against almost everything we are for. Like that video I have of him, that whoever made a great video, it says, Gordon Duff is a Jewish disinformation agent. It's on YouTube, and I have it at one of the top articles of ratfacedjews.com. And whoever did it, they took the clips of him saying this stuff where he's literally saying, "I'm multiculturalist. I don't really like white people. They're being bred out because they're getting dumber. It's not the brown people that are bringing the IQ down," which is the most asinine thing I've ever heard of. "It's the white people that are dropping your IQ from 100 to 80. Well, first of all, white's average IQ was supposed to be 120, I believe, or whatever it was. Like, okay, so white people have somehow devolved their IQ to 80, but it's not the brown people, he said. And then he goes off to say, it's a retarded amount of stuff he's saying on there. And it's like he's almost overtly anti-white and communist, and he's admittedly a quote-unquote self-hating Jew. There's nothing hating about him. He loves the fact that he's a disinfo Jew. Yeah, so for David Duke, a seasoned veteran, I'm sure even John Friend, we were talking about how diplomatic John Friend is and how friendly he really is, and he shouldn't be so friendly. I am sure John Friend wouldn't even have gave Gordon Duff that much of a pass. I mean, I'm not trying to knock John Friend here, but literally, Duke's a seasoned veteran. I would expect it far more critical of a response from him to someone like Duke or Duff.
So what's going on with him? How are we supposed to respond? You know what? People don't say a word. They criticize everything about it. Yeah, well, that's really too bad.
The shekels are real good over at the Rinse Network, I'll tell you that.
Yeah, I know. Mm. I know. But now Mike Rivero left Rinse and went back to RBN. I guess he thought maybe he didn't get a big enough cut at...
Well, he reposted the Duff article. He reposted the Duff article on his website.
Oh, well, I'm not surprised. But did he or did some of his listeners? He has this system where people who are members of his site, ways they make money, post it. And you can tell when you look at the color code or something, which ones are from him and which ones are from the listeners.
But that makes sense. Okay.
Yeah. This particular article, "Enemies Scamming America on Gun Confiscation." Everybody who ever reads Veterans Today should read this and should understand. And maybe they don't understand. Here's somebody calling. Okay. I don't know how long they've been there, but I've got to go to my Skype page and answer the call. Okay. You can talk Well,
sure. I just want to, I guess since we're on the Veterans Today Gordon Duff thing, I want to bring up two people that I am disgusted with over there, and that's Kevin Barrett and Jim Fetzer. You can go to Kevin Barrett's own website. I forget the name of it exactly. His own website, you go to his radio page, you'll see him sitting in an office chair with his feet kicked up and he's on a cordless phone. That's my desk in my office room back in Milwaukee, Wisconsin, with a picture of me and my wife on his, on a desk up there. And this clown has the nerve to tell me during this that, I should go ask it, cause I wrote him an email. I said, what's up with your buddy Gordon Duff running his mouth about being ADL and all this? He said, well, with a name like that, why don't you go see if the 80 will pay you some shekels? And I told him where he could go stick it in the sun.
Who is this now? Who is this?
Kevin Barrett.
Yeah, well, I'm glad you brought those two up because they are right in league with Gordon Duff, and they're the same liberal Democrats. And I'm going to bring up that, you know, I'm not sure that Gordon Duff is just like working for Israel. I think he might be working for the Democratic Party or some sort of thing like that, or maybe a combination. But I have had this sense of him and the Democratic Party for a long time, and I'll bring that out in this article as it comes out. He's just always anti-Republican and pro-Democratic.
I thought he was just working for Zoloft and Prozac, but okay.
Okay. All right, well, caller, welcome. Could you tell us your name and where you're from?
Yeah, this is Andre from Total Fascism. I'm from Ohio.
Well, hi, Andre. Welcome.
Thank you. Thank you for all the nice things you said about my site. I appreciate that. And thanks for the criticism. You know, we need to hear this stuff.
Okay. Well, thank you for saying that.
As far as Gordon Duff working for anybody, I mean, this guy, he's a Jew. You don't know. These people have like a genetic drive, you know? It's just kind of how they behave. They just lie and distort reality on purpose.
Yeah, well, okay. Sometimes that's an oversimplification a little bit. I mean, I agree. You know, I'm totally anti-Jewish, and I think that we cannot have a society for ourselves with a single Jew in it. I mean, that's how far I go, and very few people will go that far. And you might not even go that far.
Yeah, well, I don't know. I mean, it's a complicated question, obviously.
Well, if you say the Jews are just genetically liars and rat faces and so on, then why would you say that, well, there's some good ones out there?
I don't say that there's any good ones.
Well,
I'm uncomfortable even with Kapner.
Well, I am too, but he's probably one of the better because he has totally denounced Judaism, or says he is, and doesn't call himself a Jew. But the ones that remain Jews, like Gilad Atzmon, that so many people love, well, he's a nice person. He's a good guy. He's not a bad guy, but he's an anti-nationalist and multiculturalist, and he wants all these things. He just wants to be justice. He wants kind of democratic humanitarian ideals and so on. So he's not helping us. So when people are just anti-Israel, and that's their main thing, they're not really a part of what we're trying to do, are they? You know, so.
Yeah. I mean, that's what I see this kind of old fake anti-Semitic movement as trying to push this as all Israel. Like Israel is the only issue. That's kind of what Gordon Duff does. But he seems insane. I mean, he says, I listened to this Mike Harris interview. I wrote an article about it. And he says he's running 62 websites and that six of them are designed to attack the other websites. I mean, what does that even mean? He just sounds
no,
crazy.
No, yeah, right, because he does get crazy. I've been listening to him on radio because I was going to have him on as a guest in December 2010 on the Heretics Hour when I was over there at the Voice of Reason. And I was recording my shows then. And so we set up a recording session with him, and he got on. And I thought at that time that was my wake up right there, because I thought, oh, he's a big guy. He's got this website is so popular, and oh, it was really popular then. He's come down quite a bit since then. And I was, I thought, boy, I really got a great show here. And he starts in, and we did a little talking. We never did get around to recording anything. He just kept talking and talking. And I got more and more unhappy with what he was saying. And he was trying to get me to, he was talking about George Bush, the first George Bush and the Nazi, you know, being a Nazi and the this and the that and all. And I was countering what he was saying. And then he finally told me, I really countered something that he was saying about the Truman hearings. And then he said, well, I think I changed my mind about doing this program. I'm not going to do it. And he hung up. And that was the luckiest thing in the world for me, because I have a good record of never having a Jew or a, I didn't know he was Jewish then. I think he told me at that time. I never had a, no, he sent me an email before that, so I did know. But I've never had a Jew or a homosexual or anything like that as a guest, but I could have a few times if I hadn't been lucky and they, something it didn't go over, so it didn't happen. So, but anyway, in this, I don't know where I was going with that, but I forgot now and all that talk. What do you have to say, Mike?
As far as the no Jew theory, I would like not to see not even one genetic Jewish cell on the, at the very least in my home country, but any white country or the planet for that matter. That's
They need some kind of a colony.
Well, you know, yeah, you, I'm not calling for the extermination of Jews.
No,
I'm not saying that there aren't good Jews. There are pretty nice Jews, or, you know, there's gotta be. I mean, some of these people that are called that are. So, but they need to be kept to themselves. And if they were kept to themselves, and really were, they would disappear pretty quick on their own. Because they couldn't live just among themselves.
It's the same as Africa. The numbers are exploding, and then all the liberals are crying, we need to feed them more. Well, the numbers are exploding because we fed them in the first place.
The natural
order would keep their numbers down if we stop artificially feeding them. It's like I saw something funny on a site where they gave a scenario of you go to a national park, don't feed the bears and the animals because they'll be dependent on food. Their numbers will grow, and then when you can't feed them, they'll all die miserable deaths. And that's what we're doing with this third world countries.
So, well, right. So, you know, I was going to start out this show talking about, and I have it written here, that sentimentalism is in our way. And you brought it up, Mike, that, you know, we are inundated with sentimentalism through our media and, you know, the entire media, but particularly entertainment and so on. And we're supposed to feel sorry for everybody. And this is all comes from this liberal philosophy. And there's a lot of people that are listed as, you know, names. Well, you've got some on your list, Andre, of who you recommend, who are really into really sentimental and can't bear to hurt anybody or anything. And you just can't, we just can't tolerate that. They try to quote things like from National Socialism or especially from Adolf Hitler and make it sound like he's just, you know, doesn't care about anybody, some kind of psychopath. Well, he wasn't, but he had a realistic view of the world and what people had to do in their own countries to protect themselves.
And you know what? And a lot of the leftist crowd right now, the anti-Zionist crowd, so on and so forth, patriot crowd, they're heavily using what happened in Iceland recently as being the answer to a nonviolent, and I'm not saying push of violence or nothing like that, but being realistically, what would have to happen to overthrow Jewish power is not going to be what happened in Iceland. And they love using that, like, oh, we'll just vote them out and reclaim the debt and say there's no debt and we'll win. Well, you got to remember that the whole country, the whole nation of Iceland has less people in it than we do in Upper Michigan here. So
I think it's only 300,000 people, isn't it?
Yeah, we have 330,000 up in Upper Michigan.
Yeah.
You know, and it's a pretty big plot of land up here, so it's spread out, but that, you know, to Jews, giving up that, you know, Iceland in the middle of the Atlantic Ocean there is not a big deal. Let them see them just give away Germany, the U.S., Canada, Britain.
Yeah.
It's not going to happen like that. For them to get kicked out of power, it's going to be a hellacious amount of bloodshed.
You know, the Jews are more in control of the United States in all aspects, not just the media, in their government and everything, than they ever were in Germany.
Right.
Than they ever were in Germany. And people don't recognize this enough either. Well, I'm going to, Andre, you can stay on the line as long as you want, unless we have another caller. Well, you can even do it then if you want. I can, and I'll have to. But we don't have another
call.
Yeah,
if you want me to get off, I can.
No, you don't have to. It's your dime that you're spending. I hope you realize that.
Yeah, I'm just listening.
Okay, that's fine. So let's get into this article while we still have some time. I just think it's very, very instructive. Enemies Scamming America on Gun Confiscation by Gordon Duff, posted on the 24th. Of this month and just a few days ago. And here's just, this is not the very beginning, but here's, you know, some excerpts. However, he says, the same right-wing bankster, this is in quotes, bankster and cartel-owned and operated police, unquote, see, the ones who beat down the Occupy movement are now telling us they are ready to fight the federal government over gun confiscation that only exists, quite frankly, in NRA literature, AIPAC blogs, and the weakest of minds. Now, he's trying to connect AIPAC with NRA and with Republicans and I don't know what he's saying here. You know, he's his usual confusion. He's trying to, what he's doing in here is to make us hate the police and love the government, love the federal government and hate local government. So I'll go on here. Anyone who really knows America, he says, meaning that he does, you know, also knows that the Second Amendment is there to make sure Americans have the guns needed to protect the Constitution and the rest of the amendments. Historically, he says, the single biggest real threat has been police, state, and local authorities, not the federal government. That's a blatant statement. Now, you can make a case for local authorities and state and even police being corrupt. But this is how we got all this federal intrusion, is by saying, is that they convinced us that our local authorities and our state authorities were corrupt, and the federal government had to come in and clean it up, right?
Yeah, well, it's how they instituted communism, how they institute the unions.
Right.
They
right.
give you this artificial oppression, and they come in and fix it for you.
All right. And so then he says, further on, he says, we also have talk about killing, quote, gun confiscators, unquote, coming from police and sheriff departments across the very red states only. Now, he's always going after red states and red state people. So he's saying that they want to kill the gun confiscators, the people in the red states. Now, he says, now, wait a minute. You mean the police are planning on saving us from government? Aren't these the same sheriff's departments, particularly in the Southwest? Now he's targeting the South, where a lot of these sheriffs are standing up in the Southwest. The ones that help foreclose on homes, that murder prisoners, that take payoffs from the Mexican cartels and seem to arrive more than a bit late when shootings happen. Now, how much more transparent can it get that he's attacking the right wing or I don't know, Republican-type sheriffs in the Southwest who are more independent and are standing up for gun freedom. That's what he's doing here, trying to make out that they are the ones who are foreclosing on our homes and murdering prisoners in jail and so on. Then he says, now letters are being circulated telling us that President Obama is ordering the military to put commanders in position who are willing to attack American citizens to take away guns. And then he says, these stories are fantasies, but they are everywhere. Then he says, then the Utah Sheriff's Association announced they would fire on any federal officials that came to seize guns. Well, we're pleased when they say things like that. But he says, first of all, every sheriff in Utah is a Republican. Secondly, every sheriff in Utah is a Mormon. Thirdly, Utah is the most corrupt state in the United States, followed by Idaho, another Mormon state, followed by Nevada, another Mormon state, followed by Texas, still carrying the stink of the Bush family. Well, I have a lot to say about that. I mean, I live in Texas, and I don't appreciate that comment. It's not all about the Bush family. And, you know, he's pointing out all these states where there's more independence from, or used to be, anyway, from the federal government. Plus, he wants to make people hate the Mormons rather than the Jews. You know, it's the Mormons are the bad guys. And then now here's where it's really good. There has never been a threat of gun confiscation, he says. There will be regulations on magazine capacity on assault rifles, just as there was during the Bush 43 presidency. What there won't be is this, colon, no one will notice that those who planned and executed the Sandy Hook terror massacre are directly tied to the gun lobby, to the Israel lobby, to the GOP, to the endless extremist law enforcement agencies that act as armed enforcers for the Mexican drug cartels. Now, I find that unbelievable. Talk about twisting and turning and expecting people to follow that and to, you know.
It's very delusional. It doesn't make any sense, you know.
Exactly.
I mean, look at what the guy says. Yes, you know, the first time I was really able to listen to him, not just the David Duke interview, but was with the Jeff Rintz the morning after he wrote the article about ADL owning rat-faced Jews. And just listening to him talk, the guy has got serious schizophrenia or something. I mean, I don't buy into all the psycho babble that you people are wired right upstairs, but he really isn't. I mean, the fact that he thinks his articles are worth $20,000 a piece and there's somehow $250 million of, it's like, where did you get this crap from?
But I know where I was going with my story about how I had, you know, the first time I talked to him, you know, and wrote about him, and I did a program about him back then, and that was in December 2010, and over these years, particularly like last year, he was on a lot of radio programs, and or the year 2011 and 12, and I listened to quite a few of them. There's this guy Russ who used to write to me all the time and tell me what he was saying in his latest radio program, and so I'd go and listen, and sure enough, he was saying that, and he was saying crazy things then, and they didn't make any sense. And he was bragging, you know, about his CIA contacts, and then he would just contradict himself. And then he's just, as you say, he's gotten worse. This last business he's been talking about, it's even worse. I mean, he is like insane. And I wonder how long it will take for that site to come down. And then you've got Kevin Barrett and Jim Fitzer all, you know, supporting him. Yeah, crazy.
Yes. Like I said, this personal experience I had with him, I could just see that even his supporters were like, what is this guy talking about? You know, what's wrong with him? You know, and, I know of a writer or two that are on there. Well, just one that I specifically talked to that is a good guy and is going to be leaving there. I'm not going to put him out in public yet, but yeah, he's even like, this place is a joke. You know, he says, you know, they don't honor my articles at all. He says they want me to tone stuff down. They ask me to do this, ask me to do that. And says, you know, I'm not going to bend over for anything they say, and especially after Duff went and did this, he says, I don't see any reason to stick around here at all.
He's lost an awful lot of his writer. They used to be his contributing writers, and you know, he lies about a lot, some of them, and he announced that this one, who's the well known military guy who came out against 9/11, said Israel did 9/11. He quit because he was being, well, for other reasons too, but he was, Duff was saying he was one of their leading editors or something. And he said he never agreed to be an editor for them. He never agreed to hold any position. And so, you know, he has done that. He's driven all these people away. So I guess it is true that, you know, you can only lie so much and get away with it. He does go to the extreme. And,
right,
and here, exactly. You know, he's trying to make us hate the sheriffs of the land. Now, they're not all good, that's for sure. But he's trying to connect the Republican Party with the gun lobby and with the Israel lobby and the terrors and saying that they planned and executed the Sandy Hook massacre. He's suggesting that. So anyway, okay, I won't force any more of this on you.
But, yeah, the guy's a clown. He's definitely a clown, that's for sure.
Yeah.
Sure, enough of them.
Yeah. Well, looks like our caller dropped off.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, I'm going to – I've got – let's see what else I was wanting to talk about. But you go ahead if you want to bring something up now.
Yeah, I guess I've been wanting – I'm going to start getting some shows going myself again pretty soon here once all this other stuff settles down moving all the sites over and trying to get everything stable. And I get a lot of emails. Oh, this site's down, that site's down. I say, yeah, I know. We're moving from one temporary server to another and then to a full-blown dedicated server this week. So, but anybody that's interested and you want to talk to any of us with ZCF, Jewish Problem, Total Fascism, John Friend doesn't get in there that often. You're more than welcome in there. We got a TeamSpeak server that, you know, is, like I said, it's open 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. We especially welcome new people in that have questions. You're not going to get beat up. You know, if you think you have a debate or a disagreement on something, you know, you're one of the people that think Hitler was a Jew or the Jews funded him and Hitler founded Israel or whatever kind of, you know, notion you might think you have. Like I said, you're more than welcome to come in there. We've got a very good group of guys that know their stuff very well. And I'd be more than willing to educate you on the topics you might miss. And maybe you got something you could bring to the table, that we haven't heard of. So, that TeamSpeak address is, right now the server address for that. You could download TeamSpeak for free. TeamSpeak version 3 from TeamSpeak.com. And then you, enter the server address is CHI2, which is short for Chicago 2. So, shy2.voicemonsters.com. And the port number would be 8808, and you can always find that at the chat room tab of prothink.org. At the top of the page, you'll see a tab right under the banner that says chat room. You click that, it'll walk you through all the installation of that, and it's for everybody. Like I said, it's for everybody to come in there and be able to come in there and chat. I know a lot of us who sit here on Skype, on a big text chat on Skype, but this, you know, not the same as being able to actually hear each other's voices and talk to each other and network, because I mean, sooner or later, it's like I was telling these guys earlier, sooner or later, we're going to have to get off of the internet and onto the streets. I mean, we have to make the next step. If we don't make the next step, we're just going to be crying in another decade from now going, oh, the Jews did this. There's even more third world country in here. There's even more terrorism. We have less guns and less money. And, oh, oy vey, the bagels are getting more expensive. Well, you know, if we're going to stop that crying in a decade from now, we're going to have to put them boots down. Lace them up and get ready.
Well, so. I don't know about their crying. I mean, they may have everything locked down by then, you know.
That's the problem.
But I don't really know what the answer is, but I think an awareness of how bad it is and not just playing around. Like, I guess we could all be accused of that. I certainly could be, too, of, you know, just talking. But, you know, I have the excuse of my age, Mike.
I don't have responsibilities,
but I'm not going to go out there. And then again, it's hard to tie up with people unless you're going to do a lot of traveling.
Well, yeah, and I'm never going to expect a woman to go out there and do a man's work, you know, to be out there in the front lines and be the warrior.
Thank you.
Yeah, I have a little more of a chivalry than the equality of when it comes to that kind of stuff. But, the men out there, there's lots of young, men that are strong and got the knowledge these Jews portray us. First of all, they portray all blacks on TV as the biggest warriors and the toughest guys in the world. And I tell you what, I grew up in the inner city. That's not true at all. I mean, that's not the case. Whites need to stop being the epitome of the weak wussy. You see the videos all the time where whites are getting stomped. If you live in America, you're white and you're above age and you don't have the background I do where it's super get you in trouble for carrying a firearm, carry a firearm. Find out opencarry.org is where you could go to find out if you can have an open carry without even a permit at all. I mean, Michigan's like that. Wisconsin's like that. Illinois is tyrannical as all hell. But I know in Michigan and Wisconsin, you can carry an AR-15, a Colt 45, whatever you want to carry on you or your person with no permit as long as you're not concealing it. And to conceal it, you go get your concealed carry permit. So first of all, white people, get yourself armed and be ready to defend yourself, especially if you live in bigger cities. And do it, like I said, follow the law of what the laws are right now, because you still can legally do this stuff. Still right now. I don't know how much longer you have. Well, once you get that part down, we got to be able to get comfortable being able to speak this stuff on the streets. Start passing out DVDs and flyers. Start talking to neighbors. Start getting groups going on meetup.com. Where I've always recommended start up a USS Liberty activist group. That's always a soft issue. It gets these patriotic people that are a little more scary to talk about these issues. But if they know about the USS Liberty, they're going to A, know about Jews. They're going to B, know about Israel and crimes. And C, they're going to be a little more comfortable with that kind of issue than saying, hey, we're going to start up with a National Socialist or fascist.
Well, yeah, I really don't. I'm not recommending that except to the inner circle. That's who I basically,
right,
you know, speak to, because I'm just not into. I don't have the ability, the tolerance or the patience or something to be talking to people who aren't even converted at all and try to draw them in or something.
It's hard.
I know. And that maybe is what David Duke could say he's doing, or his defenders would say, well, you know, he's trying to reach all these people. I kind of think it's sort of hopeless. I think we need to reach the people who can be reached and make into it a tougher, more cohesive, unified, active force, you know, more coordinated too, speaking from the same place and not be so diffuse and, you know, all over the board. And for that, you know, that's a different issue. Now, let me just bring up here, because I just saw it again. I'm glad I saw it. At this article on Duff's site that I was reading from, at the bottom of the article, Mike, not related to the article at all, but there it is, a big picture of John McCain, who is one of his, you know, Duff's hated Republicans, you know, targeted and from Arizona to a hated state. And there's a picture of him with some man who's not named, who's got a big, who's smiling. And Duff has this thing captioned, head, and anybody can go there to this article, what it was about. It was the top of Duff's site right now about gun confiscation. From the 24th. He's got it captioned, head of National Socialist Movement, which would be the person on the left, and Senator John McCain traveling together to NSM National Convention, November 2012, and then in parentheses, exclusive photo, not saying, you know, where the photo was from. And looking at this, I just noticed that in the background, they're in a police department, a police station, of some kind, because there's two men back there. One of them clearly has a badge on his, something shiny behind a desk. And there,
he just,
you know,
makes stuff up.
Yeah.
Just
and who is this guy? He might be somebody in the net, but if he didn't give his name, and this I think is really shocking. This is more shocking than the article. This is the most shocking thing I've ever seen on his site, because, well, we were talking about the media falsifying the Sandy Hook event, right? I mean, I have been talking about that a lot. And this is an example of the same kind of faking news, faking stuff with false captions. You know, another theme I want to get into more this year is the fake captions on the Holocaust pictures. You know, it's just as bad as the photo is the retouching of them. But all this stuff is going on. And it's so blatant in your face. This one is really something everybody should look at. And I don't know if anyone, I think I can't even write comments, I don't think, but if anybody wrote a comment about it, somebody should say, what is this picture here? And why is it here? And who is that guy? And why is there a policeman in the background? Look like policeman.
Well, luckily, that's what when he claimed the ADL owned Rafe's shoes, luckily even his audience was a little more discerning, and they said, because all the only evidence he offered was a quote unquote a forensic search, and people were like, okay, where's the evidence from this so-called forensic search? And then he went on to say that on Jeff Rince the next morning, when I said he was interviewed on it, he went on to say that he was he has a computer laboratory. I mean, Jews love blowing themselves up to be like this Superman, Avengers, Batman. I mean, that's their whole mindset. All these comics, these Marvel comics, and all, that's their mindset. That's Jewish mindset. Is this fake heroic stuff? There's nothing about it about being a white Aryan warrior to martyrdom. None of that real heroic stuff. Their stuff is this fantasy land, Jewish type mentality, and therefore that's what they exhibit. Like when I was on a 9/11 Missing Links bus tour, I ran into a Jew in the middle of a truck stop. And I had the Pro Thing shirt on, which had a Star of David crashing into the towers. And the Jew goes, are you Hebrew? I said, excuse me? And I said, why don't you look at this again? And he goes, what's that mean? I said, well, Jews did 9/11. And, of course, it turned into a big crap storm in there. But, you know, his whole thing was, first he was the poorest truck driver ever meet. Then he was special forces who killed Osama bin Laden, Hitler, and every, you know, he yeah. was the man, you know, and every Jew will say that they were this fantastic story. And that's exactly what Gordon Duff exhibits. Every story from him is this fantastic fantasy, Zoloft Prozac inspired fairy tale that they have in their head and they want you to subscribe to it.
He probably is on those things.
I would imagine. Drugs.
And I read early on, several years back, or at least a couple, I guess, that, he was making a lot of mistakes in his writing. You know, just lots of typos. And then somebody said, kind of jokingly to him, it was that woman. Oh, she's gone. I haven't seen her for a long time. The woman at my catbird seat, I don't know if she left him too, or if she's still there. She had worked deals in Middle East issues. And she kind of jokingly said, well, you know, you can't write anything that it doesn't have to be edited quite a bit, Gordon. And so, you know, he's just nuts. But, you know, I don't know how you feel about the Sandy Hook story, but I did find something just recently, on the 25th. In a comment on James Tracy's blog, one commenter who lives around there said, I checked out the firehouse and at the, you know, around down from the school and the now blocked off access points to the school a couple of weeks ago. It is totally surrounded by barbed wire fencing. Someone has given orders to maintain secrecy. Well, anyway, they've got this school surrounded by barbed wire. I don't know if you're aware that almost days afterwards, maybe it was a month afterwards, it seemed like, you know, people were just waking up to the whole thing. The town of Newtown, the head of the town of Newtown and some of the people there, they were started talking about how they should tear down that school. And, you know, nobody has seen inside there. There's no photographs. Nobody has been able to go in there and see what the so-called crime scene looks like. And there is there has to be no crime scene because, no matter what it appears on TV, because, they're now got the thing surrounded with barbed wire, according to this guy. And they have probably already made that decision to tear the school down. And they're going to, and the police are already said in the beginning that it would be 3 months. Well, not immediately, but after a few days, they said, well, it'd be maybe 2.5 or 3 months before we can complete our investigation. And until then, you know, we can't say anything and no one can come around here. So before they complete that, they're going to have that thing torn down so that nobody can go in and see that there's no sign of what supposedly happened did happen. What do you say to that?
Yeah, the Sandy Hook incident, there's a lot of questions and stuff wrong with that whole ordeal. And there's so much Jewish disinformation out there. I mean, Gordon Duff's one of them, right? But, you know, honestly, I haven't spent a lot of time on that because I know a couple of people pointed out that they want us to spend a lot of time on that because there's probably a lot of other things that are getting past us that we're not paying attention to that are far worse than that. But, you know, I don't disagree with some of the people out there that are saying they don't think that anybody was even killed at all or that there's an underground tunnel for the Israeli death squads that come in there. I mean, there's so many different theories of what happened there. But as far as the official story, I've learned that anything you see on mainstream Jewish media as an official story is probably the furthest thing here.
It is. And people who know all this and still want to say, and I know too many people, I'm just shocked. You know, I don't know what to say to them. I mean, I say things to them, but it doesn't make a difference to them. Want to say, well, it happened the way they said. They think this Adam Lanza, you know, took too many drugs or something and he went off there and killed all. He couldn't have done it. He could not have done it. He doesn't even have a history of being like that. And they made up a lot of stuff afterwards about he was, you know, he is all this, he had all these problems. He was under a doctor's care. He was medicated. He wasn't. Then they couldn't find any proof of it whatsoever or that he had ever gone to a shooting range did target practice or even that his mother did. And all this stuff they were saying in the beginning. So, they put out all these lies and, then some people at least find out differently. But then they just tear down all the evidence. Now, I'm glad you brought that up, because I had the idea about, you know, it's true. You can say, well, they did that Sandy Hook just to get everybody talking about it and not paying attention to more important things, so therefore we shouldn't talk about it. Well, I don't look at it that way, because I think they're going to do gun control with that. they intend very much to use it for that. I think that's real. But, you know, what Gordon Duff said about rat-faced Jews could be one of those things. Whether he knew that you were involved in that or not, he could have put something like that. He could be putting a lot of his crazy stuff out in order to get people talking about things that, well, we know that's what disinfo, I mean, a lot of that stuff, he does do it for that reason. But this rat-faced Jew thing he put out, being the ADL, he may have done that just to get everybody distracted by that. You think that's a possibility? And, and then let other things go by, or maybe stop talking about Sandy Hook. Who knows? You know, because it's so twisted. And you know that they're putting people everywhere, doing everything they know to stop anybody getting anywhere in an organized way and following an organized train of thought and so on, which is, and you have to know that, you have to expect it. And you can't say, oh, well, that just sounds crazy, because it's not. And that's why I like this James Tracy, even though I think he's a liberal. But he's going about it in an organized way and doesn't look like he's going to stop. And that's what they don't want. They don't want people gathering evidence in which they, I got another call, in which they get people to pay attention and make sense out of some of this stuff. You know what I mean?
Right.
So go ahead and comment on that while I take this call.
Yeah, I mean, the thing with that is that if we continue to let Jews lead the dissent on things like that, then they got us where they want us. You know, they don't want us hammering these issues. Like my two biggest things is the Holocaust and 9/11, the Hall of Hoax. I don't want to call it the Holocaust, but the Hall of Hoax and 9/11. Those two issues always need to consistently be pushed out there. Because the more people learn of those two things, the better.
Well, I'm going to say something about that. But, caller, you've got some noise. You're making some noise. You need to check what's going on here. And I'll take your call in just a second. Hold on. Try to cut out your noise.
Okay.
Yeah, you know, my thing is Holocaust and World War II. And I didn't go into 9/11 once I started doing a website, because by then I had studied it all up and I knew how important it was, but there were so many people doing it, and I thought, well, let them do it, you know, and you're one of them is doing it, so let them do it and I'll just focus on this. So I never have, I try to kind of stay away from it.
But you know what the problem with the 9/11 scene is there's numerous, you think the
disinfo.
Yeah, you think there's a lot of bad people like Jim Conant in a World War II Holocaust revisionist scene?
No, I know.
There are thousands of that in the 9/11 scene. And that's why I've always found 9/11 to be just the utmost important single issue to really hammer on. You know, and a lot of that
is important. I'm not saying it's not important. I'm just saying I thought there were so many people doing it, I'd let them do it, because
there are. You know,
there got so much. Yeah, there got to be so much disinfo that I couldn't follow all those stories, and I didn't want to anymore, because the basic story is plenty good. Don't need all that stuff. Right.
That was the point. Yeah, it makes they flood the scene so much with because I mean you could expose the Holocaust all day, and that's great, because they don't make you understand that there are an enormous amount of the Jewish collective are absolutely unified on the Holocaust lie, and so therefore that exhibits to people when they learn about this, like, wow, all these Jews are in on it. But 9/11 and a different thing has just as important of a role, because these people are still in power. You know, these people are still in the circles. I mean, all the people that were involved in covering up and doing Dresden and all the crimes of World War II from Jews, almost all of them are gone, you know, so we don't have a chance to really fry and hang them bastards like we could have. But you know, these ones that are involved in the 9/11 and these illegal wars and these economy stuff, they're around. And, you know, when the world learns of it, their wrath here, I don't think there's really going to be a crevice or a rock they can hide under anymore.
Well, but you know what gets me is that it's been, 12 years now or whatever number of years it is. And it should have been blown wide open because it was almost within the first 5 years.
Right.
You know, there was enough. I mean, I started in the end of 2004, and in 2005 I was just, you know, arguing with people, and I was spending a lot of time keeping up with all the latest and so on. Yet it's been bogged down and it didn't happen. And this should be the big lesson to us. The power that these people have. It is, the truth doesn't mean a thing. Okay, oh, that caller dropped. I was just going to answer his call. Well, he can call in again.
Yeah, we got a couple minutes left. You want to call in, caller?
Yeah, you can still call in. You happen to know who he was?
I just wanted
us to finish that little thought that we were on, and one thing leads to another, you know. One thought leads to another thought. It seems so important. Well, that's too bad. His name, when he said something, he almost sounded familiar to me. I hope he does call back.
Hmm. I listened to your show with Linder, and I already knew he had libertarian views, but I was quite surprised on his, I was just about to bring this up because I was, because you interviewed him. And I thought it was quite interesting that he was more leaning towards liberalism and didn't think national. And he made some decent arguments towards it, but I still didn't.
Think he sees himself as a nationalist, but he also sees things kind of economically. Or he's worried about freedom. He's worried that national socialism and what would be called Nazism or something wouldn't give enough freedom, and that would be a too dictatorial a regime, and forcing people to do this and not do that. And he doesn't want to go along with that. So even if it's a white government, he doesn't go along with it because he wants all this freedom. Now you can't be pro-white and keep it pro-white. Here's the caller again, and keep all that kind of personal freedom in the way that he's probably thinking. What do you think?
Because there's a certain degree, like the libertarian view, as long as it doesn't hurt somebody else, feel free to do it. But if you're involved in a collective, a white collective in a nation, everything you do is going to affect somebody else. So you have to take that into consideration.
Let's let the caller talk now. Hi, caller. What's your name? Where are you from?
My name's Martin, and I'm calling from Eastern Washington State. And I want to address the whole Gordon Duff thing. There's one thing that nobody seems to have picked up on, and let me get to his website here, that article about the rat-faced Jews. Did anybody happen to notice that the second website that he referred to was www.thejewishproblem.com?
Yeah, everybody picked up on that wasn't an accurate description of the website name. It was Jewish Problem, not the Jewish Problem.
Right. I hadn't seen anybody else saying anything about it. And it just, the inaccuracy of the slander kind of got to me. You get what I'm saying?
Right.
Okay, well, I said that he's full of, he makes a lot of mistakes. But, and that might have been one of his mistakes. I just clicked on Rat Faced Jews and got there, but I didn't click on the other one because I was familiar with it.
And the other one is a site that has nothing to do with Delaney. It's registered, who is, shows that it's registered in Australia, and it has nothing to do with Jews.
Which one?
TheJewishProblem.com.
Oh, yeah. It's just a domain probably owned by some domain real estate group or something.
Right, that's what I'm saying, that he has a link in it, yet how could he make a mistake putting a link? I mean, you can get a word wrong, but how can you get a link wrong?
Well, that's because he got everything wrong in that article. He possibly could.
Okay. Anyway, the other thing.
Wow, I didn't see anybody mention that in the comments. Among the ones that I read, I didn't read.
Nobody did.
Yeah. Well,
okay, there's another thing, and you were talking about it's all the fault of the Republicans.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Gordon Duff's thing.
Yeah.
And here's a good thing. I had an interchange with him. Enemies Scamming America, that article about the gun control.
Yes.
And in it he said, when Clinton was president, we had no wars.
Yes. I didn't, you know, I stopped reading. I thought maybe I was going on too long with that. But I'm glad you brought that up. Thanks.
Anyway, I posted back, the war against Serbia doesn't count. The war in which the U.S. sided with the terrorist KLA heroin operation. The war which stripped Kosovo from Serbia so that the U.S. could construct Camp Lundsteel. And he came back at me with, actually, it doesn't. There were no American combat casualties. There were no disabled vets, no PTSD, no billions spent. Stop friggin' GOP slaves love running to the Kosovo War as a comparison to the thousands dead, tens of thousands disabled, the tens of thousands of suicides, and the trillions spent on the phony war on terror. No, there were no wars under Clinton. In other words, if we just use fighter bombers and cruise missiles to wipe people out, that's not a war unless U.S. troops are on the ground and get killed. Well, unless that happens, it's not a war.
Yes. Well, you know, he added something to that article. Maybe he added it later at the ending, and he brought all that up. And he was, you know, yeah, he was apologizing, saying that everything's great under Clinton. And then when Bush came in, he ruined it all for 8 years. But then that's what messed up Obama. He's never anything is Obama's fault, you know. And he says that America is ending the war in Afghanistan early under Obama, and realigning itself toward America, becoming more American under Obama. Can you believe that stuff?
Well, we are ending the war in the sense that it's going to be mercenaries only.
There you go. That's how he's doing it, and they're going to be here too. Well, Mike. Caller, we only have a couple seconds. I want to say goodbye to Mike Delaney and thank him so much for coming on. And thank you, caller. And Mike, what are your last?
Just catch me at prothink.org and come visit on the TeamSpeak. We'll be there after the show. Thank you.
All right. Okay. Thanks, everybody. Thanks for listening. We'll see you next week.
Thanks for listening. And be sure to visit Carolyn's website at carolynyager.com.